AAT Birds Weekly Report is the Eagle news, notes, and analysis you need.
Fires for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted!
The 30, the 20, the 10, the 5.
He stepped up, he's hit, and falls forward.
He
fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it!
It's gone! And the Eagles win!
It's all Birds. All the time.
And welcome to another edition of the AAT Birds Weekly Report. I myself, Johnny Leck, is joined by Chip at Chip for the Birds. And we have a special guest tonight. We have Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And you can find him, of course, on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, thank you for joining us tonight. We are very happy to have you.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Good to be back on with you guys. I feel like it's been a minute, a couple of years. I got to tell you, the only reason I come on is because that open gets me so pumped. I mean, it's not for you guys.
I don't blame you.
Actually just say bye now and leave. Like, I got out of this what I was looking for. When you see Romanowski and those guys stuffing Emmett, when you see Mike Quick, like, those were my glory days, bro. The stuff that you have more recent, that's when I was playing for other teams or broadcasting or whatever. So that doesn't resonate as much with me, right? But the 80s, early 90s stuff, I'm all about it. Absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome. Love the intro. Love being on with you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's really funny when Johnny puts together these video clips and then he goes, like, he has found – the furthest black hole corners of Eagles lore for some of these videos. So believe me, we over here in the non-Johnny land appreciate it the same way you do.
Very, very impressive. Very.
So you did bring up talking about the old Eagles and everything like that. I do want, before we talk a little bit about the preseason week one matchup against the Baltimore Ravens, the recap there, I want to bring up, what is your take on the Kelly Green re-release?
I mean, is there a take other than it's absolutely phenomenal? I guess I'm nervous. Johnny, what's your take?
Oh, no. I absolutely love it. Look, I'm wearing the Reggie White gangrene defense.
The hat. I've had this hat for years now.
Minister of Defense, not gangrene. That's Jets.
You know what's amazing? I love the Eagles uniforms in the late 80s, early 90s. But for some reason, my first game I went to with my dad, I think, was 85. I was 6 years old. And maybe I just didn't know any better. But I don't remember thinking they were as great then as I do now. Like, at the time, it's like, okay, these are just the Eagles uniforms. I like them, and they're good, and I'm an Eagles fan and whatever, right? And, you know, my dad and I would agonize on Sundays on the couch after church and everything. But then – in more recent years, and now that they've come out with the Kelly Green re-release, it brings it all back. I'm telling you guys, I am 11 years old again, and Randall Cunningham ducks as Bruce Smith tries to sack him, and Randall throws the ball like 60 yards downfield up in Buffalo. It's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, those are my heydays. That's when I would go to Westchester training camp 3 to 5 times a summer. One day Randall Cunningham said to me, haven't I already signed like 8 autographs for you? it was awesome. So love the Kelly Green. Love they're doing it. I've been doing an inside training camp show for the Eagles, so they've hooked me up with some Kelly Green gear to wear on the show. So I'm pretty pumped up to have that stuff. And I couldn't even believe it for the Ravens preseason game. I mean, it was probably still maybe two-thirds Ravens fans, maybe almost 50, let's say 60% Ravens, 40% Eagles. But out of the 40% Eagles fans that were there, at least half of them had Kelly Green on already.
Yep.
There was a lot of Kelly Green in the stands. Like that first home game for the Eagles against the Vikings, even though I don't think the Eagles are wearing Kelly Green that night, it is going to be Kelly Green everywhere.
And I think it's the nostalgia piece that you bring up. Like you mentioned, you know, being six, being 11. They went through so many renditions of like that more dark green. You know, you see like Ricky Waters in that like 30. But the Kelly Green, it makes you remember those things. And it's the same way. Like there are some really bright, vibrant jerseys in the history of the NFL. Like I'm thinking of like the creamsicle Bucks jerseys. I'm thinking of the Houston Oilers, that baby blue. But the Eagles Kelly Green, like, that's what this team has always tried to be as far as the fan base goes, and be, it's just the nostalgia. It is hitting. And you saw it a little bit last year when they turned over the logo to make it more commercial. There was a lot of pushback on that. I think that part of the reasons why the Eagles have the fan base that they do is because they support the entire history of this team.
So, okay, a couple things there. First of all, why does it seem like for most teams, like the Oilers, Titans, like the Bucks, even like the Seahawks, mm-hmm. that like the throwback jerseys are cooler than the ones they have now? Like, because when they switched, usually people were like glad they were switching and like yep. thought it was cool they were switching. But it's like now, 20 years later, 30 years later, like nobody liked the creamsicle when the Bucks
no.
had creamsicles. But now everybody says they like the creamsicles, right?
So you have to think about the logic of the 90s and neon. Everything in the 90s was neon, bright neon. Think about like a White Man Can't Jump, bright colors.
Yeah.
And it faded out. And now
it's
coming
back. The other thing, like we talk about Reggie White and Jerome Brown and Seth Joyner and Randall Cunningham and all those guys. Like those are the good old days. Dude, they won like two playoff games.
Oh, they were awful.
I mean, they weren't awful, but it's just so funny. Like in our heads, those are like the glory days. But like the glory days are like Andy Reid with McNabb. The glory days are like, you know, Peterson and Foles. And now, I mean, the glory days are now, bro.
Yeah. And, you know, I look at Andy Reid with Patrick Mahomes and you look at that and you kind of think of what could have been with Andy and Donovan, almost of like that marriage. I mean, you know, they had so much success. They were very successful. You may not, hopefully the Eagles fans are able to see a type of run going to all these championship games and, you know, being that close again in the near future. But I get what you're saying with the Kelly Green, everything back in the day, everything comes back around. Same thing with the NBA. They're bringing all these old, the Grizzlies uniforms and all this stuff, all this old stuff, you know, what was old is now new again. And it's in style again. It just seems like that's kind of how everything is going. But I want to get your take on some new Eagles. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at the preseason matchup, the week one that you did cover, you did announce it. Let me know your thoughts on guys like Sidney Brown and guys like Jalen Carter and Tyler Steen, these young Eagles that are going to be the future.
Really, really excited and optimistic about all those guys. And they're, you know, I think I said this to somebody or said it during the game last week, the guys that are playing in the preseason games that we anticipate playing this season or in future seasons, I would say, you know, so far so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jalen Carter only played two plays. His first play, he killed the right guard and got a clean hit on the quarterback. That was extremely impressive. You know, DeAndre Swift, his second carry.
Yep.
That, I mean, he showed more on that carry than I think Miles showed all year last year.
Ooh.
And look, I like Miles. I think he's a good player. But the cutback with the wiggle to make a guy whiff with running through a dude's face at the end. Like, when's the last time Miles Sanders ran through a guy's face like that? I mean, highly encouraging. And then watching the tape back, I thought so live, but then watching the tape back, I think Sidney Brown's going to be a good player. I mean, I think he only played the second half, and he might have had nine tackles, led the team in tackles, nine solo tackles. He flies around. I actually talked with him today for the broadcast tomorrow night. He's a really, really impressive young guy. I'd be surprised if he doesn't become a fan favorite in Philly at some point. And then Steen's just good. I mean, Steen's a good player. It's very rare for a rookie to cross train at left tackle and right guard. You almost never see that. You know, it might be left tackle, right tackle, or left tackle, left guard, but different position, other side of the ball. And what he's already playing, I think, at a pretty high level, to the point where I think Steen eventually will be a starter for the Eagles. You know, I don't know where that is. I don't know if that's right guard or right tackle, but I think Steen will be a starter for Philadelphia just based on what he's done so far as a rookie. I mean, at a minimum, I think he provides really good depth this year.
Now, compared to last year, going into training camp and, you know, knowing the expectations that we thought we had and then making a run to the Super Bowl, what's the vibe around camp this year? Obviously the expectations are to get back and to win a Super Bowl, but how have the new guys kind of adopted that philosophy? How has Jalen Hurts kind of led that charge? What's the overall feel around camp, even a little bit compared to last year?
Well, it's a lot different. You know, last year, I think everybody knew they had a good roster, but the jury was still really very much out for Jalen Hurts.
Right.
You know, I think people were still pretty skeptical, concerned maybe, about how well Jalen Hurts would play. That's totally gone now. I mean, He's even been better this training camp than he was last training camp, which is probably pretty scary if you are, you know, these other teams. You know, I feel like talking with Sirianni and Hurts, it just feels like unfinished business.
Yep.
It just feels like a burning desire to seal the deal that they were not able to last year. And I think that's probably natural, right? You get that far, you're that close to winning the whole thing, and to lose by a little bit like that, and in the fashion they did, I think they are very, very hungry to get back there, but also very cognizant of the fact that it doesn't just happen. You know, they got to remember all the things they did last year to get back there. And it's really, really hard. I mean, These playoff games are, you know, they could go either way. I mean, these playoff games, a lot of times are close. The Eagles were pretty fortunate, and it's rare to not have a close playoff game last year. Usually they're really hotly contested games. That's not how it was for the Eagles, but it usually is. And so I would expect that to be the case this year, and it's probably some games that can go either way.
So what's your thought on – now, Sean Desai is coming in, new defensive coordinator for the Eagles. And what do you think in terms of his type of philosophy, defensive philosophy, and how much will it differ from Jonathan Gannon's?
You know, I really don't know. I asked him that today.
Ooh.
And we're not going to know until they play the games. And they haven't started – they haven't done the game plan yet for New England. So it's like when they do the game plan for New England and we watch them that game, we'll have to try to decide or figure out, okay, what do we think Gannon would have done there? I know it's a merge of like what Gannon was doing and some of the stuff Desai likes. And I think that's probably good. You know, the one thing I think gets lost in the shuffle is like, with the new coordinators, it wasn't going to be the same exact offense this year or the same exact defense this year anyway. You know what I mean? Like, Shane Steichen would have changed some things. Gannon would have added some stuff. Instead, you've got different guys doing that with Johnson and Desai.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of the people want to blame Jonathan Gannon for his Super Bowl performance, and rightfully so. I mean, we found out that, you know, he had his head somewhere else. But I like the kind of mode of this team, which is let's move forward. We didn't win the Super Bowl, but we have unfinished business, like you said. What matchup, as far as depth and roster, has intrigued you the most in camp so far?
Yeah, I would say pretty clearly linebacker and safety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost both linebackers, both safeties. They essentially have four starting jobs up for grabs. You know, they didn't play Reed Blankenship in the first preseason game, which would lead you to believe that they feel pretty darn good about him and want to make sure there's no chance. They don't need to see more. And N'Kobe Dean, I guess, didn't play. He was still coming back from the ankle injury. But it's pretty rare to be a Super Bowl team and you have at least two, maybe three starting spots available that these guys are fighting for and battling out in these preseason games. I mean, that's what's interesting to me. I mean, these are starting spots on a Super Bowl caliber team, and these guys are battling, and some of the guys are like guys that played in the fourth quarter of preseason games last year. You know, I mean, Blankenship, Christian Ellis, which for me is cool, because when I'm talking the second half of these preseason games, everybody's like, oh, whatever, Ross. Well, no, I mean, you know, 2019, Boston Scott and Greg Ward are carrying the team to the division championship. You know, now we got Blankenship and Christian Ellis might both start after playing in the second half of the preseason games last year. Like, who are the guys, the undrafted guys this year, or the guys playing the second half of preseason games this year that next year we're going to be talking about as starters?
With the roster starting to take shape, give me one surprise cut that you think could happen, whether that's because of depth, whether that's because of a surprise, like you mentioned, some of these guys coming up. Who is a surprise cut that we could see?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one for me to answer, because I don't know that I would really be surprised by any of them.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. You know, I got cut four times, but I got cut in 2004. I signed a 3-year contract extension with the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
That year, I started 13 games. We went 9-4 in those games. I got my 80% playing time bonus. It was the best year of my career. Played the last four games with a herniated disc in my back. Ended up having surgery in April. I got hurt twice in training camp, like minor injuries, and they cut me. So, like, I'm probably the wrong guy to talk to about surprise cuts, because nothing surprises me. That was 1 year into a 3-year extension, and it was my best year ever. So, I don't think there's a guy that they could cut that would really surprise me. You know, but there are some veterans they've added.
Right.
You know, Dennis Kelly, Josh Andrews, Miles Jack, Zach Cunningham. You know, I think sometimes you think, well, if they add a veteran with a lot of experience during camp, that guy's going to make the team. I don't know that all those guys are making the team. I mean, maybe they are, but I don't know that.
Yeah, it's never. You look at veterans that they've added in previous years, you know, guys like Corey Nelson and LJ Fort, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. And you look at a guy like Greedy Williams with his young secondary, and Eli Ricks and Mekhi Garner. You have Josh Jobe and all these younger players who are, you know, playing well. Where does he fit in? So there's a lot of that. I had a question about preseason, but I want to go to Jose's question here.
Jose's got a good question.
Best press box food. Who's got it?
Great question, Jose. There's three that jump to mind immediately for me. Number one would be, and I hate to say it, but the Dallas Cowboys. I've done the Thanksgiving Day game the last couple of years. So good, bro. best Thanksgiving spread I've ever had. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Grandma.
Ooh.
Sorry, Rachel, my mother-in-law. Like, best Thanksgiving Day spread I've ever had. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a bunch of entree options and awesome. And then they have Bananas Foster at halftime.
Nice.
So last Bucks game I did, I ate four bananas Fosters at halftime. So good. And then I really like the Packers too. Shout out Berks County, Fleetwood in the house. Love it, Jose. When I go to Green Bay, they play at noon, obviously, Central Time Zone.
Right.
Get there at 8:39, have an omelet. They have an omelet guy, omelet station. So yeah. I have an omelet. Then I go down the field for a while. Then I come back up and I get, like, they have the best salad bar in the league. And they have always have, like, mac and cheese, like pulled pork mac and cheese. So I eat that. Then halftime, I have two brats in 8 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Like, we only have, like, 8 minutes. I have two brats in 8 minutes. So Green Bay is probably my favorite. It's a tough place to get to, but probably my favorite.
So I want to, before we let you go, I do want to ask you about myfrontpagestory.com, best gift ever.
Best gift ever. I'm just telling you guys, you've never heard of it until now. Buddy of mine started the company. Shout out, Dustin. Go to myfrontpagestory.com. If you're married, if you're anything, I don't care. Best anniversary gift, holiday gift, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day. They write a story all about how awesome your wife is or your mom or whatever. Looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. Pictures of her and you or her and the kids. And when she reads the quotes, like, I just never thank her enough for all little things she does. They cry every time, dude. They cry every time. It's hilarious. Myfrontpagestory.com. Look at that, dude. You guys are high tech. Already putting it up there. Now, is that like a producer behind the scenes or was that you, Johnny?
That was Johnny, but we have been known to have an intern or two that does that. But this one was Johnny, quick sneaking that up there.
Johnny, you're a ninja. I love it. My front page story. You guys are Lehigh Valley, right?
Yes.
That's right. Where again? I
forget. I'm in Lehigh Valley. So me, I grew up in Emmaus. I live in Macungie now, which is right on the outskirts of Emmaus there. But I know Chip isn't
Lehigh Valley. I'm Lansdale, so
I'm Montgomery County. Familiar with both. In fact, when I was younger, while missing, my high school used to play Emmaus because we wanted to play a big school that we could beat. And then when I was my sophomore and junior years, we played Lansdale Catholic. So I'm very familiar with where both you guys are. I love it. I love Pennsylvania high school sports, and I love the geography. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Ross, thank you for coming on, man. Yeah.
Thanks again, Ross.
Of course. Hey, make sure you guys are giving me some love on the preseason game tomorrow night.
We'll do.
Let's have fun. Yeah. We need the diehards that watch every second. That's who I'm into. The people that watch every second.
Yep, exactly. And I went back and watched it again a couple nights ago.
Johnny, I live for sickos like you, bro.
I was going to say, I'm a sicko.
You've got the disease. You got the disease, bro. It's okay. It's a good thing to catch. All right, see you guys.
Thanks again, Ross.
Ross, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
That was some great information from Ross. Getting to talk with him again. Always love having guys come back on the show, multiple time guests. We absolutely love that. But I want to kind of touch on what he didn't want to answer with the surprise cut.
I don't know that he wanted to answer it. I think that he had to navigate that fine line of he's got to call a game still. He's got a job to do. And if he comes on a podcast and is like, oh, this guy's going to be cut, that guy's not talking to him.
Yeah, and you know, the way I think about it, a couple of guys, and the way I'm going to put this too, is watching a little bit of last Saturday's game against the Baltimore Ravens, and you look at a couple of players I could see being cut. Now, I'm not sure it'd be surprise cuts. Now, unfortunately, we had the news of Sean Bradley out for the season, injury reserve, torn Achilles, which is, you know, tough for him. Temple alum, everything, city kid, Philly kid. And then they signed Olave Sagapolu. I just wanted to say the name.
Yeah, he's not going to make the team. He's going to 31 snaps.
Again, what I'm going to say is my surprise cut kind of ties into the signing they made. So they get rid of a linebacker, but they sign a nose tackle. Mm-hmm. Now, the one nose tackle that is behind Jordan Davis that they use is – Marlon Tuipulotu, and he struggled last year before he got hurt, and then after he got hurt is when they signed the two big guys in Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph, and they signed. Like I said, I'm not saying Olave Sagapolu is going to make the roster, but
how many more times you want to say
see a guy like Marlon Tuipulotu getting cut, or a guy like Dennis Kelly, or a guy like Greedy Williams. So some of these veterans may not make the roster just because of numbers crunch. And you look at certain positions, if Tyler Steen can play left tackle, right tackle, can play all over, that's a valuable asset there. And you don't really need Dennis Kelly, even though he is a veteran. A guy like Josh Andrews can play guard, can play center, because you don't have to have Brett Toth or somebody else trying to play center. You don't have to move Juergens, all that. You can have a veteran there. Again, their versatility really matters. And same with playing special teams and certain things along the lines of that. When you look at some of the receivers that the Eagles have, Joseph Ngata, and you know, a guy like Tyree Cleveland and Greg Ward. Now, practice squad availability is there too, and that's why you want to show to be able to make the roster there. But just all in all, looking at or watching this team on Saturday against the Ravens, is the team is deep and they still have some players. And again, I texted you, Chip. I'm always on the Greg Ward train. I just like he's just an absolute true professional, and I will always root for him.
He's like what Jason Avant used to be for this team. He's that guy who's you can always rely on. He's what that he's what Jordan Matthews used to be for this team. That guy you could always rely on.
Yeah.
You know, and he falls into that category.
I do want to bring this up because you said it last week.
Mm-hmm.
I did tell you that Tanner McKee will be QB number three. And I think that is going to be the case because I think his ceiling is a whole heck of a lot higher than Ian Book. Ian Book is running in the wrong direction and just really looking not so good out there.
So here's what I will say about the quarterbacking that I saw. I based a lot of what I said last week on going to the open practice where Tanner McKee looked awful. There is a specific footwork drill that he just could not do. With that being said, he looked exceptionally poised under pressure during a live action game. So maybe he doesn't have that high level of mobility that we've come to expect out of Eagles quarterbacks. He's not in the mold of Jalen Hurts. He's not in the mold of Marcus Mariota. He's his own mold. He's going to be a pocket passer. Ian Book looked horrendous. Now, he was also going with a combination of the threes and the fours. So he's going with guys that he doesn't have a relationship with. I would be interested to see. I think what they should do is tomorrow put Book in with the threes and McKee with the fours.
Which you definitely could see.
We're making a lot of assumptions based off of one game, one preseason game. McKee looked night and day better than Ian Book. Dennis Kelly is not going to be a surprise cut. He is going to be a cut. He looked atrocious. He looked as bad as I have ever seen him play. I think that Trey Sermon is going to be a cut.
I think that's more numbers-wise, unfortunately.
I think it's numbers-wise as well, but I could see him being a cut as well. So the big thing that we are going to see over the next two preseason games is you're going to see guys getting as much as they can on tape for the other NFL teams.
No, you're right. That is exactly what happens when you are playing in the preseason game. You want to put as much stuff on tape to get either on the Eagles practice squad or another practice squad or another roster. You're able to get that. That is absolutely key when you look at preseason games. And again, I always love to watch the preseason games every minute of it because you never know.
Ross Tucker mentioned that DeAndre Swift run. I loved that run. I love that run so much. I watched it 612 times because Hulu decided to crap out right on that run. Now I figured out a workaround to watch the rest of the game eventually, but yeah, that run was great. DeAndre Swift is as advertised. Rashad Penny is going to be as advertised. Mariota, he's going to be a very capable backup. I have said it on this show. I have said it on my show. I have said it to anyone that will hear me. This Eagles roster is, on paper, one of the most talented rosters, top to bottom, in NFL history. There are very few weak position groups on this, the how much time have we spent talking about a punter battle, which, by the way, neither of them is good enough to make this team.
No,
I think it's very clear that Sipos is going to be the guy because Jake Elliott missed a field goal with Zentner holding the ball. So clearly,
it's going to be Sipos.
It's going to be Sipos, but he's not good enough to be the punter either. But if we are struggling, to discuss who the punter of this team is going to be, I think you have a different conversation. The other thing that I will say, and again, I've said this multiple times, this Eagles defense on paper has a chance to be the greatest defense or in that conversation in NFL history. This defense is absurd, and you have seen it over the course of these open practices. You saw in the open practice, you saw it in the joint practices, you saw it in the preseason game. They were strong and they got stronger. And now you've got guys who you brought in like a Miles Jack, like a Cunningham, these guys who are on these 1-year prove it deals who want to play. You've got a guy like Darius Slay saying that Devontae Smith is going to be one of the best receivers in football.
Yeah, it's,
and he's not even our number one technically.
The team is so deep and it's fun because you look at, you have to pick, you know, the battles, and some of them are fun because they're young players like the safety position, like the linebacker position. You have some younger guys, hopefully able to make that next step, make that next jump. And, you know, it's going to be fun come tomorrow. I'm not sure the starters are going to play. And if maybe they do play, it's maybe a series at most. I know they did that with the Jets last year. They played one series and that was it, but who knows if they're even going to do that because they did the two scrimmages and the two joint practices. And along the lines of that, that's kind of like their preseason game because they go full force in those for a little bit. And I don't know. Like I said, if you see the starters, you may just see the starters for a series. But again, it's going to be what you saw last week.
But I also don't think that you need to because you have the joint practices where they got to play a little bit against the ones. We have learned in I would want to see the starters, obviously, to knock the rust off, and that has always been my opinion. But at the same time, I don't need to. I would rather them get into the season as healthy as possible. You already saw Sean Bradley making a Sirianni's visor. Why? Because, you know, he was probably going to be cut. I said that last week. He was probably going to be cut. Now he doesn't have to be. But he is going to miss the season.
Yeah, unfortunately, he will miss the season. He's a core special team player.
He's a core special teams player.
So before we get to the fun game we like to play, name that Philadelphia Eagle, what are you most looking forward to for tomorrow night's game? Is there something specific that you're really watching? Because for me, it's the younger players. And into the second, third quarter, like for me, that's the big thing is these younger players and seeing who pops, who shows you something. Some of these undrafted guys, that's kind of my big thing that I'm looking for. But what are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's definitely certain guys that I want to see more of. I would like to see more of Britton Covey. I would like to see more of, you know, our tight ends, because I think that, you know, after Dallas Goedert, there's still a ton of question marks. You know, I want to see if a guy like Dennis Kelly can be worth literally anything because he's at what he put on paper last week was not. I want to see more of, can they do the players that played well? Can they be consistent from week to week? Like, can McKee have another good, solid game, regardless of who he's around? And then I want to see the guys that struggled. I want to see them play better. You're muted, sir. You're muted, sir.
We were both wrong. I want to talk
Both of our locks were wrong.
Yes. Both our locks were wrong.
Because he went for frickin' two.
But there's always a second chance.
It's time for the Rebecca Locks of the Week. Who's your lock?
So since we both lost, I will start this lock for this week at least. And I'm going to go with the same thing that I did last week. Tanner McKee will throw a touchdown pass.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't put any thought into this lock at all.
You didn't put any thought into it.
Any thought into it at all. I will have Jordan Davis will have a sack.
Okay.
Along with N'Kobe Dean will also have a sack.
Ooh. Okay.
So he will play.
So Dean and Davis will have sacks.
Dean and Davis will have sacks.
And then I have McKee TD pass. Okay. Which now brings us to a fun game. Name that Philadelphia Eagle. Name that
Philadelphia Eagle.
So this fun game, of course, is an easy, medium, hard. I'm not going to do a hard one this week. I'm just going to do an easy medium.
Who was the Twitter versus? You didn't share who was the hard from last week.
Michael Jacquet.
No kidding. I knew it.
You did get that one.
I got all three, actually.
You got
last
what?
Week. I got all three last week.
Well, we'll see how you do this week.
Crap.
Alrighty. So the first question, it's an easy one. Okay. So
this is the easy one.
We'll see if you get it. Can you name the last undrafted free agent that was the Eagles' undrafted free agent? Not an undrafted free agent from another team to come to the Eagles and then make a Pro Bowl. So he had to start with the Eagles as an undrafted free agent to make a Pro Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles.
This is easy?
It's not easy. It's more of a medium, but...
Can I have a position?
You can have a... It's on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay.
And it was... Andy Reid was the head coach. So it kind of narrows you down there to a handful of 12 or 13 years there.
Andy Reid was the head coach. It was defense. And they made a Pro Bowl.
He went to Boise State. It's not going to help you, but
that doesn't help me at all.
I thought I'd say that anyway.
I have two in my mind. And you won't give me a position?
I won't give you a position.
Okay. Has this person been a guest on this show?
He has not. But he does follow the Instagram page.
So I think I know who it is. Is it? Oh, I hate this. I hate this. In case I'm wrong, I hate this. Whew. I'm just trying to think if this player was a Pro Bowler. I think he was. All right, I'm going for it. Is it Quentin Michael?
It is Quentin Michael.
Ooh.
That is correct. 2009.
I asked the question because of Hollis Thomas.
Oh, I gotcha. No, that is a good one too, but no, Quentin Michael is the answer. The next question.
This is the medium.
The medium, yes. Can you name the current Philadelphia
music? The music kills me.
The current Philadelphia Eagles who had played with Jalen Hurts in college.
Would be everybody from Alabama. All right, so Devontae Smith, that one's easy. Landon Dickerson. No?
No, Landon Dickerson is not on the...
Was he already...
He was in Oklahoma, so Landon Dickerson transferred from Florida State. Yeah, so that's a no.
Okay. Devontae Smith. Wouldn't be Tyler Steen. They would have not been close enough. Nobody from Georgia. How many am I looking for?
You are looking for, I believe there is five of them.
Including Devontae?
No, six of them, sorry. Now, all these players aren't going to make the roster, but they're on the team as of right now. Let me just double check. I think it's six, but it may only be. So, yes, it is six.
And I only have Devontae Smith so far. My problem is I'm so locked into Georgia right now. All the Eagles that are from Georgia. So that kills me.
You can always just mail it in and I can tell you.
I'm going to mail it in. Yeah, I don't have it.
So it's Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I got that one.
Grant Calcaterra.
He know.
Oklahoma. Jaden Hasselwood.
I don't know who the hell that is.
Kennedy Brooks.
Trey I knew that Sermon, one. Oh, Sermon too?
And Josh Job.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
So, again, it's another episode of Name That Philadelphia Eagle. Another short one. I'm not doing a hard one this week. We have enough to worry about the game and everything. But again, should be fun. I want to thank Ross Tucker, first of all, for joining us. Absolutely love when he's on. I want to thank everyone tuning in, liking, subscribing. Make sure you hit the, follow us, subscribe. We go live basically every single Wednesday. We've got some fun content coming up. We got some awesome stuff. Also, if you have not gotten your tickets or your deposit for the Jets or the Washington from Philly Sports Trips, we are running bus trips. So if you have not, the door is closing on the Jets trip in probably like another week. So you better get your deposit so you can get the seat on the bus for that. The Washington one is still going to be up for a little bit, but definitely if you want to go see the Eagles with us, come the bus in the Lehigh Valley, Allentown area. Definitely hop on.
Well, especially the Lehigh Valley area. You got a tight end on the Jets who went to Kutztown.
Exactly. So,
plus Aaron Rodgers and Dalvin Cook.
Exactly. It's a fun game. But with that, we always end the show with a very fun and happy
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing. Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans. I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This is your boy, Freddie Mitchell, a.k.a. Fred X. It's All About the Bird.
All birds all the time.
All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.